The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt, but it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Here in the Gospel of Matthew is Jesus' third and final prediction of his passion. And his third prediction is by far the most detailed, leaving no room for any misunderstanding whatsoever. You can almost feel as if Jesus is aware of the pain and the suffering that he is about to face. And so the ambitious mother of James and John figures this is a perfect time to ask about who's who in the kingdom of heaven. She says, "Oh, let's forget about all that. Who's going to be first and who's going to be second in the kingdom of heaven? And, you know, as long as you're thinking of it, can you give first and second place to my two kids?" So Jesus turns and he asks this question. He says, "Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink from?" James and John enthusiastically, they say, "Yes, we can." Why did they so enthusiastically reply, "Yes, we can drink of the cup"? The reason was because to drink of the cup was a sign of fellowship in a celebration or an official banquet. And who wouldn't want us be right there at the fellowship of the king in the banquet of heaven? Enthusiastically, "Yes, we can." Of course, we know better than that. We got the perspective of the gospel. We know that Jesus was speaking of the cup of suffering. In fact, it was an Old Testament metaphor. The cup of suffering shows up in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the prophets. The cup of suffering was the cup of justice that all the nations of the world were going to drink from as a consequence of their sins. We believe, of course, that Jesus drank from that cup. Jesus was the one who paid the ransom. He's the one who suffered for sins he didn't commit. And it's also the cup of fellowship. He offers it to his closest friends. "If you would be my disciples, take up your cross." And just as a little aside, who was it who was right at Jesus' right hand when he entered into his kingdom? Who was it? The good thief. The one who was with him on Calvary. Now, that's not what I really want to focus on here this morning. I want to rather focus on this half of Jesus' phrase, "Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink from?" The cup that I'm going to drink from. In our fallen human nature, we always tend to fear suffering. We always tend to fear. And we say, "What's going to happen to me?" And isn't that especially true, you know, in these last few days and these last few weeks? I have to restrain myself not to launch off into a little editorial comment about the psychology of fear. But I'm reminded of what our Lord said. Fear is useless. What is needed is trust. Fear is useless. God would have you focus on his presence, on his providence, and on what he asks you to do in the moment, no matter what that moment is. We don't stop and ask this question really ever, what's going to happen to me? But rather, we realize no matter what happens, God is always at my side, and he will never leave me to face my perils alone. Just like he's always been. Just like he always will be. You have to stop and really consider, Jesus says, can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink from? I'm going to drink that right there with you, at your side, no matter what it is. And, you know, it's kind of a little lesson for us. The only way to fight fear is with faith. 11 out of the 12 apostles would die martyrs' deaths. They would, in fact, face some grisly and some gruesome deaths, details they certainly couldn't have handled at this hour, but it doesn't really matter, because when the hour did come, they were ready. In fact, they weren't just ready, they were bold. You think about the way St. Peter died. I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. St. Andrew, they say he was crucified on a cross shaped like an X and preached for 3 hours as he died, right? I mean, St. Paul, if they'd crucified him, he would have been preaching for 3 days until the good thing they lopped off his head. It was the only way to keep him quiet. But they were bold. Why? Because they were ready. Why were they ready? Because they cooperated with God's grace in the day, one day at a time. And you and I, we need to do the exact same thing. Okay? So, if you ever find yourself asking this question, what's going to happen to me? Stop. Just stop. Stop right there. That question has no end. You'll ask it forever. And you want to know what else? That question does no good. Remember, rather, the God who is with you, the God who created you, the God who loves you, the God who is always at your side and will never leave you to face your perils alone. Amen.